Chapter 10 Night and Day. That evening, I sat in my room with Flora sleeping peacefully beside me and tried to start the letter to my employer. The weather was very bad, and as I sat with a piece of white paper in front of me, I listened to the sound of the storm outside. Finally, I went out, picking up a candle. I listened for a minute at Miles's door. My endless obsession made me want to check whether he was asleep and peaceful. Then suddenly, I heard his voice.
"You out there! Come in!" he called, laughing.
I went in with my candle and found him in bed, wide awake, but looking completely comfortable.
"Well, what are you doing?"
he asked cheerfully. I stood over him with my candle. "How did you know I was there?"
"I heard you, of course," he replied. "Did you think you weren't making any noise? You sounded like a lot of soldiers on horses."
And then he laughed again. "Then you weren't asleep?"
"No, I wasn't. I lie awake and think."
He put his hand out to me in a friendly way, and I put the candle down a little way from the bed and sat on the edge.
"What do you think about?"
I asked.
"About you, of course, my dear," he said.
"I would prefer it if you went to sleep," I replied.
"Well," he continued, "I also think of this strange business of ours, you know."
I could feel his cool little hand in mine. "What strange business, Miles?" I asked.
"The way you are educating me," he said, "and all the rest."
I held my breath for a moment, and even by the small amount of light from the candle, I could see that he was smiling.
"What do you mean by all the rest?" I asked. "Oh, you know.
I could say nothing for a minute as I continued to hold his hand and look into his eyes. Then I said,
"Of course, you can go back to school if that is what you are worrying about. Not to the old place. We must find another school, a better one." "But how could I know that you were worrying about going to school? You never told me. You never spoke about it at all."
His smooth, pale, listening face looking up at me made me think of a child in a hospital bed. How I wished for a nurse who could make him better. But perhaps I was the person who could help. I went on. "You've never said a word to me about your school. I mean, the old one. You've never mentioned it at all." He seemed to be thinking about this. He smiled with the same loveliness, but he was clearly thinking. It was as if he were asking someone for advice. At last he said,
"Haven't I?"
I did not answer at first. It was not my job to help him. It was the job of the thing I had met on the tower in the terrace. But suddenly, I pitied the poor little boy, trying to show his innocence when he was under their spell. So I spoke again. "No, you've never told me anything about what happened at school. Until you spoke to me this morning, you had never mentioned anything about your previous life." It was extraordinary how I seemed to be talking to both an innocent child and an intelligent adult. "I had thought before today you wanted to go on as you were." I thought I saw his face go slightly red, as if he were a little embarrassed or uneasy. But he shook his head and said,
I don't. I want to get away."
"You're tired of Bly?"
"Oh no, I like Bly."
"Well, then..." He interrupted me.
"Oh,
You know what a boy wants. I could not answer this and had to change the direction of the conversation.
You want to go to your uncle?
Oh, you can't make me go to him, you know, he said. My uncle must come here, and you must discuss everything with him.
If he does, I said firmly, you can be sure that he will take you away from here.
Well, don't you understand that that's exactly what I want? He said. You'll have to tell him about everything.
He sounded very pleased with himself as he said this, and I was pleased with my reply.
And how much will you, Miles, have to tell him? There are things he'll ask you.
He thought about that for a moment, and then he replied,
It's very likely that he will. But what things?
The things you've never told me, so he can decide what to do with you. He can't send you back. He interrupted me immediately.
I don't want to go back. I want to go somewhere new.
He spoke calmly and cheerfully, and suddenly I was aware of how tragic the situation was. How awful it would be for this poor boy to have to face his problems at school again. I felt so terrible for him that I bent forward and gave him a hug.
Dear little Miles, dear little Miles, I said.
My face was close to his, and he let me kiss him. Then he said kindly,
Well, my dear?
Is there nothing, nothing at all that you want to tell me? I cried, holding him by his shoulders. He turned his face away a little towards the wall and said,
I've told you. I told you this morning.
I felt so sorry for him. That you just want me not to worry you? I asked. He turned back to face me and replied gently,
I just want you to leave me alone.
I took my hands off his shoulders and stood up, but I could not leave him. I felt that if I turned my back on him, I was going to lose him. I've just begun a letter to your uncle, I said.
Well then, finish it.
I waited, then spoke again. What happened before? He looked up at me again.
Before what?
Before you went to school, and before you came back. I really felt there was a small chance he was going to tell me something. I fell on my knees next to the bed, thinking that once more I might be able to possess him. Dear little Miles, dear little Miles, how much I want to help you, I said. I just want you to help me to save you. But I knew at that moment that I had said too much. Suddenly, there was an extraordinary noise and a feeling of ice-cold air, as if the wind had blown the window open. The boy screamed, and I jumped to my feet, realizing that it was almost dark in the room. I almost shrieked aloud in terror. I stood there for a moment, staring around me, noticing that the curtains were not moving and that the window was still closed. The candle's out! I cried.
I blew it out, my dear, said Miles.
The next day was a terrible one. The children did their lessons wonderfully well that morning. They shone brightly in every subject, particularly Miles. I tried hard not to notice him too much. I wondered all the time what he had done to be expelled from school. I wished so much to know how much evil he had seen so that I could save him. After lessons finished, Mrs. Gross came to me and said quietly,
Have you written to the master, miss?
Yes,
I have, I replied. The letter was still in my pocket, but I knew I could put it on the table in the hall in time for a servant to post it in the village. After lunch, Miles, the extraordinary little gentleman, asked me if I would like him to play the piano for me. It was a charming thing to do. It seemed as if he wanted to show me that he did not completely dislike being with me. We went together, Miles holding my hand, to the schoolroom. When he sat down at the piano, he played better than he had ever played before. I was sitting beside the schoolroom fire when suddenly I realized I had been carried away by the music. I did not know how much time had passed. I had not been asleep, but I had forgotten about Flora. Where was she? When I asked Miles, he continued to play for a minute, then said,
My dear, how would I know?
Immediately after saying this, he laughed loudly and started to sing wildly. I went straight to my room, but his sister was not there. Then I looked in several other rooms before I went downstairs. Thinking Flora must be with Mrs. Gross, I went to the housekeeper's room, but she had not seen the child. She had believed that both children were with me. We then asked the servants, trying not to sound alarmed, but none of them had seen her.
She'll be upstairs, said Mrs. Gross. In one of the rooms you haven't searched.
No, I replied. She's gone out. She's with her. Mrs. Gross stared at me.
She's with her?
We must find them. I pulled at my friend's arm, but she did not move and said uneasily,
And where's Miles?
Oh, he's with Quint. They'll be in the schoolroom.
Oh, miss, she cried.
I had never sounded so certain before. The children made a perfect plan, you see, I said. Miles kept me quiet while Flora went off.
A perfect plan?
Mrs. Gross repeated, looking confused. Well, a wicked plan then, I said, sounding almost cheerful. But come with me. Mrs. Gross looked up towards the schoolroom.
Are you going to leave him?
With Quint?
Yes, I don't mind that now. Is that because you have written to the master? She said.
Instead of answering her, I took the letter out of my pocket and went and put it on the hall table. Then I opened the front door and went out onto the steps. Last night's storm had gone, but the afternoon was cold and grey. Mrs. Gross came to the door.
Are you going out without your coat and hat and gloves? She asked.
There isn't time to go and get them, I cried. So if you want a coat and hat and gloves, you can go upstairs by yourself.
Upstairs? Where they are?
The poor woman cried, and she hurried to join me.